As we hear from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 through 9 for our scriptural call to worship, and then we will have a musical prelude. This is the word of the Lord. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not know now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And as we've gathered together this morning to worship him, we give him praise that as we are in Christ, we have full 100% confidence that we are firmly in the grip of our Savior and Lord forever. We are called to worship. I would ask if you have your Bibles this morning. If you don't, there's pew Bibles there that you are more than willing or more than able to borrow. Turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 18. John chapter 18. I'll be reading verses 28 through 40 in a communion meditation entitled Suffered Under Pontius Pilate. As we come to the table of the Lord in just a few moments, I wish to remind us of the activities that happened only hours before the crucifixion of our Lord and 3 days later his resurrection, and part of the suffering that he did for us as his church. And so if you'll read along with me, starting at verse 28 of John chapter 18, I'll read through verse 40. This is the word of the Lord. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters, so they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to show and fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So, do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Pray with me, please. Father, this is your word, and we are your people. We pray that in these next few moments that we are together, as we study your word and as we observe the Lord's table, that you would come yourself. Father, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds, that you would remove the cares of this world for just a little while, that as we look into your word, this living and active word, the word that is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, that you would speak to us, that you would show us the way, the truth, and the life. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. We confessed our faith together this morning as a church, as we often do, using the Apostles' Creed. And its threefold division, speaking of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, we read in the section speaking of Jesus that he, and it's the title of this sermon this morning, suffered under Pontius Pilate. And it goes on to say, was crucified, dead, and was buried. For this Communion Sunday, I wish to focus the sermon to the passage where our Lord is with the governor in his quarters, as Pilate debates as to what to do with the man many are calling the Christ. And as we look at verse 28, we understand that beginning in chapter 13 of this gospel account, Jesus washes the feet of his disciples, and then they have the Lord's Supper. He has just finished his discourse, prays with them, and in chapter 18, the trials and mockery take a new height as our Lord begins his journey to the cross in chapter 19. The governor's headquarters overlook the northwest corner of the temple area and also provided a way to have direct communication with that area. It was a blessing to be able to speak to my father a couple of days ago, just returned from Israel, and I really want to appreciate and thank you for your prayers. We really appreciate that. It was a hostile time, but they were kept safe. And the few stories that I've heard about the trip, he will tell for many, many years to come. But one of the things that so struck him, and those of you who have also been to Jerusalem and have seen that area, is how close everything is. Not being able to fit any more than just people walking and knowing the topography of the area. One of the things that Jesus does often is to travel, and you read the accounts of the Gospels and how much he would go to and fro, and when you understand the area and how mountainous it was, he was a man. There is no question. And what we mean there is he was strong. He had strength. These men were in shape. As Dad said, they didn't have golf carts. they were able to walk and did so with ease. And just looking at all the topography there, understanding where we are in this passage, being at the governor's headquarters and understanding the conversation that Pilate would have with those who would be in the courtyard, it would not be a great distance, but rather one where he would seemingly step outside into his patio area and say, "Do you want him or not?" Something that we understand when we look at the topography of this area. We understand the time of day to be early morning. We understand this in more detail to be the fourth watch, or the time period between 3 and 6 a.m. These had been the events that were all night. Remember that from around first watch Thursday, as we consider the events of the Passion Week, until this point, our Lord and Savior more than likely had been awake. We're talking about a rough period of 30 hours at this point. And it is here that the trials of Jesus continue. And so Pilate, verse 29, goes outside and says to this mob that has brought Jesus, "What accusation do you bring?" Pilate, being a governor, was a politician who had deep conflict with the Jews and their festivals, and as he saw it, as he observed their practices, a religious activity. The Jews, as many do even today, have a deep-rooted national prejudice. Pilate purposefully seeks space outside of his own realm to go to them in a place where it would be convenient to hear this particular case. Pilate is introduced here without any title, as his name would have been well known among the readers. Because of his disagreements with the Jews, Pilate seems to be immediately somewhat sympathetic with Jesus in his question to them. Also, being a politician, the fact that he was willing to hear this case at this time of what we would know as night, but early morning, shows he was prepared for the mom scene to find its way to him ultimately. He probably knew the accusation, but desired to give the formality necessary to the mob entering his realm. And they would ask him, if this man were not doing evil, Pilate, we would not have delivered him over to you. Further evidence of these disagreements of the two sides arises with this statement to him. This statement shows their desperation to see to it that this man who calls himself Christ be put to death, and their deep desire not to have his blood on their hands. When you do any research of the trials of Christ from the time that he was arrested in the garden through the crucifixion, there were some 22 laws that they themselves wrote of their own people that they purposefully broke. They wanted this man dead. There's no question. It was in their law. It was widely known. It was well known that these were the activities of the Jews. They wanted Jesus put to death. And then verse 31, Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." Pilate understood the Jews wanted nothing to do with Roman law, nor were they bound to it. Pilate wanted the Jews to confess their wrongs, hoping to out these desires to a point as to publicly show their impotence, as we know very clearly. They broke at least 22 of them to get Jesus to this point. But there was a reason it was handled this way, according to verse 32. Read with me. This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. It was fulfillment of Scripture. This was a death that had been known and prophesied all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, when it was that he would put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. And later on in verses 20 and 21, we understand that Adam and Eve were clothed with the skin of the animal. And in order for them to be clothed with the skin of the animal, what had to happen to that animal? It had to be sacrificed. And so you see the picture of Jesus, even in Genesis chapter 3, immediately at the fall, who has made this covenant, and this has been known from before the foundations of the world, immediately before this, as he there in John chapter 3 spoke of being lifted up. Chapter 8, as well as in chapter 12, that when the time came, Jesus would be lifted up. Verse 33. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Now the conversation turns to Pilate and our Lord. The scene is much quieter than the mob scene that was just outside, only moments ago. This question could have been taken a few different ways. With the disdain that Pilate had against the Jews, it could read as if he were trying to side with Jesus and be on his side. Like, "Are you really who you say they are? Can you kind of help me out here, Jesus? I can get you out of this mess if you'll let me." Jesus answered, verse 34, being the one who knows all things, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Jesus answers this question and asks this question to differentiate between a question of politics and a question of theocracy or theocratics, ones that seek to understand the heart. Why do you ask this, Pilate? Do you seek to really just be on my side, or do you know that I am in your heart because of your confession, which he did not have? Verse 35, Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Pilate remarks in such a way to remind his prisoner that he most certainly doesn't belong to the group of people he despises. This was further fulfillment of the verse, "He came unto his own, and his own did not receive him." What is the charge? What have you done to so anger your own people? And Jesus gives him the answer in verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Jesus, make no mistake, he is not speaking of a two-kingdom theology, but states that his kingdom has no origin in this world. Christ's kingship is one that rules hearts and lives from before all time and now and forevermore. His authority cannot be arrested or overpowered by any political or physical force. And if Christ at that moment had so desired, he would have legions of angels to come and to immediately destroy everything that they knew. But he didn't. He did not. And we understand from John 3, because he so loved us. He loved the world. And Pilate said to him in verse 37, "So you are a king." Do you hear the sarcasm coming out of Pilate? Jesus answered and said, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Jesus is the good shepherd. He says, "My sheep know my voice. I know them, and they know me, and they follow me." We are able to listen to him as he has broken our hearts of rebellion and has given us new hearts as we turn to him. And finally, verses 38 through 40, we understand Pilate's question, "What is truth?" And he said this, "He went back outside to the Jews and told them, 'I find no guilt in him.'" And he would then go on to ask them, "Do they choose custom, or do they choose the Christ? Who do you want to save?" They would not release him. But instead, according to his own people's wishes, they chose the robber. The decision was made a little while later to crucify our Lord. It's interesting to understand when you look at the etymology of the word Barabbas in the Hebrew, literally son of a father. And so they chose the son of the father of the world over the son of our heavenly father. Pilate asked the wrong question as we consider now the table of our Lord in just a few moments. He asked the wrong question in verse 38. He asked, "What is truth?" And we understand that if Pilate's heart had been one that had been broken, one that would confess that Jesus is the Christ, he would have asked, "Who is truth?" Because it was Jesus in chapter 14, just a few hours ago at this point, who was there in the upper room with his disciples, and he would say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." And when I ask you this morning, church, as we've considered this passage, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you do, the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And we fellowship together at the table of the Lord. But if you do not, I would ask, what are you waiting for? What is keeping you from that right relationship with our Heavenly Father? Is it past experiences? Is it one that would say, "Pastor, you have no idea the life that I've lived. There's no way that Jesus could save me." The answer is yes, he can. Trust in him. Run to him with a broken and contrite heart. Run to him knowing that in him salvation is sure. Pilate's question is one that was wrong. He is not baffled with either the political problem or this theocratic problem that Jesus is showing him, but simply the narrow thought of the fact that according to Jesus' testimony and the Jewish charges, that Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent of all charges brought against him. He knew that. His question should have been, as we've said, who is truth? And that's our question even today. Who is truth? No man comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And we come to the table in just a few moments recognizing this very thing, don't we? We and only we who are trusting in him alone for our salvation will partake of this table. And we give him thanks and praise and glory that is due into his most holy name as we do that. Let me read the words of institution, the table of our Lord found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll begin reading at verse 23, and I'll read through the end of that chapter, and then I'll close this sermon in prayer, and then we'll sing a hymn together. Verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come." It was our Lord and Savior who said in John 15, verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." We give him praise that we belong to him this morning as his church. This do in remembrance of me. Congregation, it was a joy to see you this morning and to worship our Lord together. And I would just say this, that if any of you at any time need to speak to someone about your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we would love to. And so please reach out. Now receive the benediction. May the grace, peace, and mercy of God the Father, God the Son, and God the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide upon each of you. May he bless you and keep you to seal you against that great day. We pray it unto his sovereign glory. And the people of God said, amen. You are dismissed.